So, Father, as we come together to hear from you, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would quieten our spirit. Whatever has been going on with us throughout last week and happening in this day, just quieten our spirits today, Father, so that we may hear from you, that we may receive a word, Lord, that will encourage us and strengthen us. You know what our needs are, Father. Sometimes we can't even articulate what our needs are, but you know what they are, Father. So, Lord, we lay our burdens down to you right now today and ask, Father, that your will be done as we gather under your word, that you would fill us, Lord God, so that we may be able to walk by faith and not by sight, that you would strengthen us, Lord, in the areas that we feel weak and feeble, not for our glory, not for our sake, but for your sake and for your glory, that we'll be more of an instrument to be used by you. Guide us, Lord God, as we sit under your word today. Fill us, Lord God, with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Father, I pray today that you would encourage and strengthen Jeanette to deliver the word that you have. Remove Jeanette from Jeanette and allow your spirit to speak through her and give us all ears to hear, a mind to understand, and a heart to receive what you have. And let us go with a joy and a peace in our hearts as we go throughout this time and throughout this season. We pray this all for those that may be coming on the call, Lord God. We pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them to do so. And those, Lord, that would like to call in but unable to, Lord, bless them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
And thank you. Praise Jesus. That was good. Yes, thank you, Father.
Let's get to Judges. We talked about Dan, one of the sons of Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 sons. It's going to be a fast overview. He has 12 sons, and we've been going through lessons learned from each of the 12 sons. And there were different blessings that Jacob, and we are calling them blessings, and blessings they indeed were. But even more so, they were prophecies over each son and what each son, where each son would even end up. And as Jacob is prophesying, one thing that kind of struck me is, how could he know? But I guess in prophecy, you're the mouthpiece for God. So Jacob, it had to be as much a surprise to him in some instances as it was for the sons receiving the prophecy. And the prophecies had to do with the character of each son. We learned from Reuben, he lost his birthright due to sleeping with one of the handmaids of his father's, his wife's maidservant that was also became like a concubine. So Reuben lost his blessings. The blessings of the firstborn was supposed to be double portion, but it passed Reuben by. Not to mention other blessings that go with being the firstborn. But Reuben had a terrible sin in his life, and even though he repented, it still followed him all the way to his own deathbed. And he died not too long after his father died. And on his deathbed, he sent out a letter, and we went into that letter, and he was just warning people not to get caught up in lust, that if you see something you ain't supposed to have, turn away immediately. That his eyes had opened him up by looking on this girl when she was bathing, very similar to the situation with David and Bathsheba. And then we have Judah, and we have, you know, Simeon and Levi, the next two that came in line, and they were murderers, and they did some terrible things at a very ripe age of only 14 and 13 years old. And they developed into cruel people, and they ended up getting dissolved quickly. Well, we're not going to go through all of them, but we're on Dan. And when we talked about Dan, there wasn't much written about Dan himself, other than he was definitely a part of the brothers when they threw Joseph into the pit. Now, where we are, so that caused us to go into the story of Joseph. And as we were in the story of Joseph, and Joseph met his brothers, and he forgave them, and then the father dies, and they were afraid, and you know that Joseph was going to turn on them. The father was no longer living, but of course Joseph did not. Joseph's two sons end up getting and that's Manasseh and Ephraim. They end up with the blessing that was the other half of what would have been Reuben's blessing. So Ephraim and Manasseh end up part of the tribe of Israel. And why am I bringing that up? Because Jacob only had the 12 sons. But he ends up bringing in Ephraim and Manasseh, which were Joseph's sons from an Egyptian woman, and he includes them as part of the tribe. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go, we're on Dan, and like I said, there wasn't a whole lot about Dan, but I'm going to go through the story of Samson, because Danites developed into some judges. And we talked about last week that a judge in that time didn't mean they sat on a, you know, with a gavel in their hand. They were judges that directed the people and gave a word to the people. In other words, they were leaders of the people more so than judge, as we know the word judge to be. More of a leader than a judge. So we're going to go to Judges chapter 13. And I want to talk about the period while you find that. With Judges chapter 13, we'll be starting at the first verse. But I want to go into this time period that we're in. Judges, okay, what happened is the Israelites went into Egypt. They were enslaved. 400 years, they are coming out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt as a people, they were supposed to get their direction from God. And during that period of every man did unto what he thought right in his own eyes, that's what this period was about, and it was due to the laws that were given to Moses to give to the people. So people actually governed themselves. In other words, they were absent of what? What did other nations have that they did not?
A leader, a king.
A king, exactly. So this is the period of time where they had judges, not kings. In other words, the Lord would rise up somebody among them that would be leaders, but not, there were no kings because the Lord reserved that role for himself. During this period of time is where we are right now. We know that later on, as we go forward, we're going to run right into, you know, when Samuel, one of the prophets and a judge, comes on, the people are going to end up demanding that they get a king. And that's where Saul in a whole other period starts for the Israelite people. Those of you who don't know, the Israelite people are Hebrews, so-called by Egyptians, and they are the sons of Jacob and their families, which grew into such a mighty and great nation. So when I say I can use Hebrews, I'm talking about the sons of Jacob. I can use Israelites. Those are the sons of Jacob. Why Israelites? Because Jacob's name was turned to Israel by God. He said, this day you will be called Israel. So Jacob, sons and Israel's sons are synonymous. I keep bringing that up because there's always somebody new on the call that may not know that. Okay, right. Who's going to read for us today from the first verse of Judges chapter 13?
Alexandra will.
Great.
The birth of Samson. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years.
Stop right there. Stop at each verse in count of three. If I don't say anything, go forward.
You got it.
So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. I want to talk a little bit about that period, because even though, in other words, the Israelites were given certain land that they were promised and that they inhabited and that the Lord delivered into their hands. But as they continued to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and somebody on the call, tell me what kind of things did they do that was grieving the Lord? They did evil. What did they do? Forget to brush their teeth? What is it? What did they do that was grieving the Lord?
They worship false gods?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And where were these false gods coming from?
Egypt.
Egypt and?
Surrounding areas of the people that were not godly.
And the surrounding areas of people that were not godly. In other words, when they came in to inhabit a territory, and the people in that territory are foreign, a lot of the foreign people has all kinds of practices that were not allowed by God. Do you think that the people knew that these were practices not allowed by God?
No.
Richard says no.
I say no, too.
She says no, too. Do you think that the God that you know would punish you without giving you understanding of where the grievance is?
Say that question again.
Do you think that the God that we know, that we're talking about here, the God of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Father, do you think that he would punish you without giving you an understanding that you are in violation of his law?
No.
No, he wouldn't punish you.
No, he wouldn't.
But the Israelites already knew that from the Moses had given them the laws about thou shalt have no other God before him.
So then maybe the people did know.
But the foreigners did not. Right.
Sure. The foreign people
did not. He protects them. Yeah.
But as the Israel, we're talking about Israel here. Israel is in trouble with God. And why is Israel in trouble with God? Because they're taking on the practices in these foreign countries of the people. And God is delivering the land to them. But instead of, here's what I'm getting at. Instead of us being the difference, we keep assimilating.
Got it.
The Israelites already had the law given to them by Moses, so they know right from wrong.
Right.
They know what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And instead of coming into those lands, and they don't expel all the people all the time. So some of them they take into slavery, some of them. Now, I can imagine, this is just because I just went there, and I imagine that we took into slavery some of the people of the land as we conquered it. And you grow fond of maybe a couple of the servants, right? That you brought into your home to say, do the dishes and cook the meals. So you became fond of them. And then they said, well, I hope you don't mind, but I worship the God of Bloopty Blab. And I just hope you don't mind if I just pray to my God for the first 15 minutes of every day and offer a small sacrifice to my God. Can you see how easily you can get drawn into that?
Yes.
And you know why we get drawn into sin? The first thing is we become very familiar with the persons that are engaging in whatever they're engaging in. You become friends of the world. Now, am I saying, gee, Christian, you're not supposed to have friends that are not Christians?
No.
What am I saying?
We're not supposed to be.
We're not of them. Right.
Well, here we are, and we have this person we've taken into our home, and they're not Israelite, and they don't, you know, honor the code we are supposed to be living on. But I'm going to bring it to today because it makes more sense and it's easier. So we make a friend, and the friend is involved in unclean practices. Somebody give me an unclean practice that a friend could be involved in today.
Yoga.
Richard,
definitely
witchcraft.
Yeah.
What else?
Yoga.
Yoga. Now we're getting down to just everyday people. So they practice yoga. That person could be someone that you're there to witness to. But they're going to be witnessing to you too. That's what I'm getting at. Recognize children of the Most High God that when we come into contact with the world, we're supposed to be light in that darkness, but don't think that that darkness is not going to try and penetrate the light.
Right. Amen.
And so if you're going to start agreeing with mm-hmm. what they're doing and saying, well, you know, that's cool, I don't judge, don't mind me, I mean, that's cool, it's okay, no, I don't think that, you know what, it's legal, I guess it's okay.
It's just exercise.
It's exercise, it's stretching, it's this, it's that. It's no big deal. That's step one for the adversary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you, children of the Most High God, that you are supposed to go around and start rebuking everything in everybody's lives. Please do not get that in your head. That is not what I'm saying. But I am saying that you are not supposed to be in agreement with it.
Right.
And then you've got to trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. For example, oh, I meet somebody, and I met them through my church, and, you know, they're steeped in yoga. Probably my first conversation with them is not going to be, well, I understand you do yoga, and you do know where that comes from, and that blah, 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 blah. Do you think that's going to be? No. But I've already set my heel in. I am firmly, solidly placed and root it in God's word.
Yeah.
So when they say eventually, and I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, they got some things in their life that I know you're not pleased with. Lead me to know when I need to speak on these things. Lead me. Open the door. Now, sometimes the Spirit of God will fall on you, and you will just start saying stuff, and you don't even know where it came from. You'll be speaking into things that they didn't even tell you, that the Holy Spirit is just, and you're saying, boy, why did I start up a conversation about witchcraft, and you don't even know that they're practicing? That can happen. Yeah. But we're just generally speaking now. If you're not rooted in God's word like you need to be, you're going to find that you're, you know, that sage bush blown in the wind. Mm-hmm. Just whatever somebody else is doing, it's okay, it's cool. And when you get, that's the first foot in for the adversary. Foot into where? Into his influence in your life. Instead of you being
right.
the influence in their life, they're now right. influencing yours.
Right.
So now you've had this friend for over 11 months or a year or two, and the friend says, you know what? I know you've been talking about you've been kind of feeling tired lately. Why don't you just come to a class with me? Why don't you just come meet some of my friends that, you know, are all, you know, doing stuff that you know you're not supposed to be doing? Why don't you just come with me and just hang out? Come on, it'll be fun. What has been established now? Because you never condemned the practices, or took a stand anywhere, they feel perfectly confident that they can ask you to come to this party and do this and that, and now you feel awkward saying no. Here comes the pressure. When you are a child of God, it should be noticeable.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. When you are a child of God, it should be noticeable.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When that person asked the Israelite, can I go ahead and worship my God in the morning in your house? That Israelite should have said, you know what? Honestly, I'm an Israelite. I am not comfortable with that.
Right.
That's what should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. Didn't realize. Blah, blah, blah. That would have shut that down. But instead, Israel has the practice of continually entertaining things that they shouldn't. If you didn't let it start in your house, it wouldn't have been in your house.
Right.
So let's give a little quick little road to what happens. So we let this person start practicing and praying to their God in your house. And what is their God? If it's not Jehovah, if it's not Elohim, then it's the devil.
It's demonic.
So you've let this unclean spirit into your home now. What has that done? It's weakened your influence.
Right.
It's polluted. It's defiled your home. Next thing you know, there's confusion, there's this, there's that. And before you know it, you're drawn into, so who, well, my God isn't working too well right now. There's nothing but confusion and drama in my house. So
right.
What's the name of your God again? Bloopy Blab. Oh, really? So I'm just curious. Strike two. I'm just curious. What kind of prayers do you pray? Well, come with me. Next thing you know, you're involved in an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah.
Israel was drawn into these things easily, as are we. You have to have your feet, your anchor, solidly firm before the storm. Now, when I say storm, and a lot of times the way storm is used, we look at difficulties coming into our lives. Difficulties, yes, that's a storm, but sometimes a storm is going to be a trial or a temptation.
Yeah.
That's going to come into your life. You have to have yourself firmly rooted in the rock. If you don't, well, Israel becomes, the Israeli people become an example to all of us of what can happen to us if we're not careful. Not just careful, but prayerful. You look and you're going to see how many times Israel, you know, finds themselves in a bad situation because of, you know, not honoring God with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, wow, those Israeli people must be retarded or something. They never learn. But they are an absolute mirror of what we look like.
Yeah.
Okay.
A certain
so
man of Zoar. Oh,
this,
sorry.
One more. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No.
When
you wanted to finish.
Okay, give me a minute. When I say they're in the hands of the Philistines for 40 years, they live outside the area of the Philistines. And at this particular time in the history of the Philistines, they weren't particularly forcing labor or anything on the Israelite people, but they had overcome the land and they were dominating in this area. I just want to make that clear. They were considered the oppressors and the enemies of the Israelites, but they were not like Rome was to, you know, the world. This is not what Philistines are doing. They spread out and they dominate. And so this has been going and took their land. And so they're in a subservient position. What does that look like today? It looks like when, you know, you can't get a job and they're not going to hire people like you. And you're in a position at the end of the totem pole, not at the beginning.
Hmm.
Okay, now go. Verse 2.
Okay. A certain man of Zora named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son."
Stop. Where have we seen this before?
Hmm.
Sarah is an example.
Sarah, yeah.
What's another example?
Hannah. Oh, yeah.
Hannah, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's a third example? What about Elizabeth and John the Baptist?
Elizabeth. Mm-hmm.
We see a pattern here of women who are barren. And when they are in these days, you know, that's the worst thing that you could be is barren. Because it was so important to have children. Anybody have any idea why he would come to a barren woman to bring forth these special people into the earth? Why a barren woman?
It shows the mighty power of the Lord, what he can do, not what man can do.
That's a great answer.
That's
to show
good.
That,
yeah.
that you're barren,
yep.
and for a barren woman to
yep.
have a child is impossible. So I'm getting ready to show you the impossible. What do you think, then, is the effect of that?
Oh, believers, people will begin to believe and question. I want to know how. Yes.
How did this happen?
Yeah.
Also, if you were the barren woman, what would be the effect on you?
Oh, wow, yeah. Praising Jesus.
Praising the Lord?
Yeah.
What did Hannah do? When she, you know, was asking for this child and then he gave her a child, what did she do?
They praised to God and they dedicated the son back to God.
Gave that firstborn son back to God.
Yeah.
Remember, she brought Samuel into the temple and Samuel was raised by the priest. The very thing she wanted with all of her heart, she gave the first of the fruit back to God. Because she knew it was by hand. And then he ends up blessing Hannah, who was barren, with five more children.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about the impact that it has on the mother. She is barren. She can have no children. In just about all of, well, in all of these cases, other than Hannah, the women were getting kind of old. We won't talk about Sarah's age. We're sensitive. All the women are aging. Their time for giving birth is kind of like over. And it's been concluded that they're barren, yet God allows them to conceive. The impact on the woman is she is being met by an angel. And if she's given specific instructions, they're listening, aren't they? In Elizabeth's case, the angel came to Zacharias in the temple. And what did he tell Zacharias? Something specific. He said, his name will be John. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, made sure that Zacharias named him what he wanted him named. And they gave instruction. And the woman is a lot more likely to listen when she knows she couldn't have had a baby in the first place if it had not been for God.
Yes, amen.
So we all kind of take these little, you know, things that life offers for granted, like having a child, but not everybody gets to have a child. And I imagine for the barren woman, it is very extremely painful, especially in those days. You're frowned upon and talked about.
Right.
So here we have special instruction now coming to the barren woman concerning the child. In other words, you wouldn't even have a baby if it wasn't for me, so I suggest you do what I'm telling you to do, right?
Right.
And I bet you the woman is so grateful they follow the instructions given to them. Remember that Zacharias went mute until he said, his name is John. When the Lord gives us instructions, it's very important we abide by them. And I think being barren and having a child, that miracle in and of itself helps you not forget what he's told you. Okay, keep going.
Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in the delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines.
Stop.
Wow, that's, wow.
Now, why is he saying that she, the mother, cannot drink wine?
Well,
because back then, wine was considered defiling to the body, as is unclean meats. That during times of consecration, now, did they drink wine? Of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
But during times of consecration, you're not supposed to drink wine. So in other words, this is as if the angel is telling her, you will be in consecration the whole 9 months.
Right.
This time will be a consecrated time. As far as telling the mother that no razor should hit his head,
mm-hmm.
I know that when we hear that story, we think of how rare that is. That, you know, you're telling them not to cut the man's hair. What's up with that? Well, warriors were known, all even through the Arab nations, that warriors were not supposed to cut their hair.
Mm.
This was not uncommon. The long hair had to do, and it reminds me of what we were talking about, that some of these tribes are Native Americans. And think about the Native Americans when you get a visual. What do you see on the men?
Right, right. Long hair.
Long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the warriors.
Right.
So he's telling, you know, he's giving a foreshadow of what Daniel's going to be. Samson's going to be. Okay, go ahead.
Then the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel from God. Very awesome. Like, really? They use that word. Very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, you will become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband, Manoah, was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, he's here, the man who appeared to me the other day. Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, are you the man who talked to my wife? I am, he said. So Manoah asked him, when your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work? The angel of the Lord answered, your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, we would like you to stay until we've prepared a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord replied, even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepared a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord.
Stop right there. There's so much, sure. So much in that.
Yes. Yeah.
Notice that the angel came to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the story of John the Baptist, the angel came to the man. Elizabeth didn't get a visitation of the angel. Zachariah did. But in this case, the angel came to the woman, and what does the woman first go and do?
Tell her husband.
She went and told her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos I give to the husband because he did not question that it happened.
Right.
He didn't say, well, why didn't he come to me? Well, he should have come to both. You don't even know who that was. Are you sure? Did you lose your mind? Is that a dream?
Right.
Well, you say you saw it, but I wasn't there, so I don't know if you saw it or not. He didn't question his wife. He just went to who?
The husband.
Who did the man go to after she talked to him about this?
He went to the Lord in prayer.
He went to the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lesson in itself. The man went directly to the Lord in prayer and wanted to see the man for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason. He wanted to know, well, how are we going to raise this boy? If this is true, which it's true, he's not questioning the validity of her encounter. But he wants to know more about his role in it now.
Right,
well, how are
right.
we going to raise this young man? If, you know, being that this son being born to us is going to be special. I love the fact that this man did not question. Remember, you're talking to a wife that's barren.
Right.
And she comes out of nowhere and says, I met this man. He would seem like an angel maybe, but his countenance, but she's calling him a man. She doesn't even know what she's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what he told me. And the man goes to the Lord. Let's talk about this. I want to sidebar really briefly again. For something must have triggered, or their relationship was such that he knew she wouldn't make such a thing up.
Right.
But I want to say this. If in your life somebody has prophesied or said something, pray about it. If you want more confirmation, pray about it. Go to the Lord. I find it very interesting here. So the man prays about it, and then he appears to who again? He came and appeared to the wife again.
Mm-hmm.
But the wife wasn't trying to leave him out of the prophecy
or
the experience. So what did she do?
She went and got him.
Ran and went and got him.
Yep.
So he could be a part of it, even though the Lord chose not to appear to him. The Lord could have chose to appear to him the second time since he's the one that prayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he did not choose to do that. He chose to appear to her again. So she goes and she gets her husband. When you are married, it's a beautiful thing if you're working together like that. If God's talking to one, they should share it with the other. God's talking to the other, share it. Pray over it. That's what it looks like. That's a perfect example of what it ought to look like. It should even look like that among one another in the church,
mm-hmm.
in your fellowship. If God shares something with you, you know, that's not necessarily personal, that you want to or need clarity on, or you wonder, you got a dream but you don't understand its meaning, share it. Because maybe God gave the meaning to someone with the gift of interpretation of dreams.
Yes.
That's how this thing flows. Maybe I have the dream, maybe you have interpretation. Maybe somebody else has the gift of tongues. Somebody else has interpretation. Okay. Keep going.
Okay. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true? He replied, why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. Okay, I know you want to interject something there.
No, I do not. I think that said it all.
Oh, that's
you're asking way too much. You're trying to get way too much.
Okay.
And sometimes do we not do that to the Lord?
Yes.
The Lord tells you something. Is that not enough? I just told you you're going to have a child, which is already a miracle. I'm telling you what she needs not eat or drink. I'm telling you this. Now, first, can we detain you with some food? No, you may not.
Right.
You can make some food, but I'd rather you did a birth offering because I'm not eating your food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're just curious. What do you need? How about I already told you what you need to know?
Right.
But we'll do that. The Lord will give us a word, and we'll just try to dissect the heck out of it because we want to know, we want to know, we want to know. And we want to know more than is sometimes for us to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jay,
the Lord's already told you what you need to know.
Can you hear me, Jay?
Yeah, go ahead, friend.
Yeah, I just want to know. So this question of the name came up to me in my head. I'd like to know, what is the woman's name? And why don't we know that?
That came up earlier. Her name is Zora.
Zora. Okay. Thank you.
Z-O-Z-A-H, I think. Oh, wait a minute.
No.
Hold on a minute. Oh, no, he was from Zora. And his wife, oh, no, they didn't even give the wife's name. They are yet to give her name. I'm just going to throw this out there real quick so we can get to communion. Why do you think we don't know her name?
Because it wasn't important, obviously.
Come on.
We didn't need to know that.
We didn't need to know her name.
We didn't need to know that.
I wonder if later on they'd be erecting a shrine with her name on it.
Mm.
If they had her name. Since they were so quick to be erecting shrines.
Right.
And finding something to worship.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they didn't give us her name. They gave us the man's name, Manoah, but did not give us her name. But okay.
Okay. Then Manoah took a young goat together with a grain offering and sacrificed it on the rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame.
Woo.
Seeing this, whoever said that, that's a testimony right there. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. Wow. We are doomed to die, he said to his wife. We have seen God. But his wife answered, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offerings from other hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in, is it Mahana, Dan, between Zora and Eshtol? Shall I stop?
Oh, yep. There's so much there that's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sometimes God does not answer our questions because you will know soon enough.
Yeah.
He did not tell them, I am God, dummies.
Right.
He didn't tell them that. Because they would have been just so filled with fear and become paralyzed.
Yeah, I couldn't hear a thing he said.
Exactly. Talk about adrenaline going straight to the head.
True.
And they didn't hear words being said.
Yeah, that would be me.
But imagine what they got to witness.
Wow.
And then listen to the difference between the husband and the wife.
Yeah.
The man immediately goes to, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife says, if that's what he wanted to do, why would he have accepted our offering? He's not here
right.
to kill us. He just gave us a prophecy of life, and you're speaking death.
Right.
I wonder if that's why he came to the woman.
Amen. Right there, yes.
Because you can see the difference in how they process information.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's not that he's putting one above the other or the other under another. It's the way that that one is wired. They process it differently.
Right.
And he chose to go with the woman on this. And you can see that she had sound reasoning immediately. Even yeah. after seeing a miracle like that, she processed it with sound reasoning. How beautiful.
That was awesome.
So this is just the beginning of Samson and how he comes about. And he's coming through the tribe of Dan. And it's really, there's not a whole lot else said about Dan, but we're going to finish the Samson story. We'll do part on Wednesday and finish up next Sunday. Because today, now we're going to go to communion for the last few minutes.
That was awesome.
Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you
for reading.
Oh, absolutely. That was amazing.
Something that just, you know, touched my heart is how the Lord's Spirit has always been among the people.
Yeah.
You say, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come until it was released in Acts, but the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him.
Yeah.
We just read, that's the last verse we read. The Lord's Spirit has shown up all through the ages
mm-hmm.
in time of need.
Amen.
When Jesus was in the upper room, and most of us know the story, if you want to call it the event, this was the very night that he was betrayed. And he is in an upper room with his disciples, and he is asking and talking with them and trying to, you know, clue them in to what's coming, but they're wrapped up in other things. Lord, I'm asking you right now that whatever is going on in the minds and the hearts of everyone on this call, that we let it go and only focus right now on the upper room.
Yes.
Where you were the night that you were betrayed.
Mm.
Don't let us be like the disciples were and so clueless to the hour that they were living in, that they were already in that hour and did not even understand. I'm asking you, Lord, to open our hearts and open our minds that we might understand the gravity of what was taking place, that when you're trying to reach us, Lord, that you could, that we could be still long enough to hear your voice, that you can touch our hearts because we're not worried about who is greatest in the kingdom or what we're going to be doing tomorrow or this or that or anything. But place us right now in that room with you, Lord. On that night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said to his disciples, take and eat this in memory of me. And he was talking about what was going to happen. He said the body would represent, the bread would represent his body, which would be broken. This is the whole purpose that he came. He came so that we could have life and that we could have it abundantly. He told them that this practice that he's doing, to do it often. And when often, does that mean every first Sunday? Maybe. It could be every day. It could be every week. But as often as you do this, think about what was happening here, what's going to happen. So as we know, Jesus' crucifixion took place and his body was beaten, unrecognizable. But the blood that poured out was blood without sin. Because he had never sinned, but our sins were placed on him. Lord, help us not to take our wrongdoings, our sin, our omission from doing what we should do. Help us not to take that so lightly when every bruise and every every wound that you received was the punishment that belongs to us. Forgive us for taking that lightly and not being as mindful of it as we quickly claim grace when we're being willfully disobedient. Lord, bring to our minds anything right now, Lord, that we have done that has grieved your spirit, that you're not pleased with. We repent, Lord. We're sorry. Help us to do better, Lord. He took the bread, he broke it, and he said, take this and eat it. This is share in the transformation and his suffering as he walked willingly into what he knew was his destiny. Let us walk willingly into ours. Take and eat. And then he took the cup. The cup represented the blood which would be shed and now has been shed for the redemption of our sins. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for willingly coming out of heaven to earth so we can find our way through this wilderness back to you. We thank you for every drop of blood that flowed all over the courtyard, the blood that poured from your hands, your feet, your head, your body. Every wound that cleanses us from our sin. Take and drink. This blood represents a new promise. In the Old Testament, there's an old covenant, and it involved all of these animals that had to be slain, innocent animals slain, so that their sins could be forgiven. Well, Jesus became the Lamb of God, and he was slain once and for all.
Amen. Amen.
And that established mm-hmm. a new promise, a new covenant, a new agreement between us and God. And we thank him for that new covenant.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And we accept it in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 All right. Any questions? Any questions? Any comments?
Exander speaking. I just want us to be mindful of the millions of Americans who will become homeless on December 31st. May we lift them in our days of devotion up until that date, and that God will provide a safe haven for those families.
Yes. Lord, we heard the request.
Yes.
And it is your will that your people do something about it. I'm asking you, Lord, to help us be generous where we can be generous. I'm asking you, Lord, yes. to move on the heart of the government.
Yes.
I'm asking you to move on their hearts. It doesn't matter because you're allowed each and every one that is in government to be where they sit.
Yes.
But you can yes. move them as you see fit.
Yes.
I'm asking you to fill their hearts with compassion and do something to
yes.
stop people from ending up in such hardship that is overbearing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Okay.
Any others?
Any others?
All right, have a wonderful week.
You guys too. Love you.
Love you guys too.
Bye-bye.